Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. Welcome in. Paula Scanlon coming up at 1:30, 855-839-1210. You know, ever since the outgoing Surgeon General, I still maintain, came up with something that's grandstanding, preposterous about alcohol, moderate drinking, one drink a day, even something like that, as a big leading cause of cancer. I've been seeing more and more pieces today, several, Americans have to change our culture about drinking. Now, we've heard that before, but now there seems to be an onslaught of them. So there's a Pew Research story about 10 facts about Americans and alcohol as Dry January begins. Now, I've never observed Dry January. If you feel the need to do that, fine. I don't get it. If you are observing, why? Is it a test of will? Is it a health thing? Here's some facts that Pew put out today as Dry January begins. This one's most interesting. Americans drink less beer and more wine than ever before. According to the National Alcohol People, since 1970, the peak year for beer consumption was 1981. Typical American age 21 or older drank 36.7 gallons per year, that is. Wow. By 2021, beer consumption had fallen to 26.5 gallons per person. Over those four decades, the amount of wine the average American drank annually rose from 3.2 gallons to 3.8 gallons. Meanwhile, consumption of distilled spirits dropped slightly from 3.0 to 2.8 gallons. So why in the world would more Americans be drinking wine? It's still going up. And beer consumption going down. Doesn't seem like there's any big reason. So if you're observing Dry January, what?
More people drink seltzers now.
Okay.
It's simple. They don't like the taste of beer, and so they drink more seltzers. So that's why beer consumption's down.
And seltzers are a wine? You think?
No, I'm just saying it's taking away from beer.
Okay.
Not necessarily that it's increasing with wine, but
okay.
The seltzers are taken away from the beer population.
Yeah. That drink that routinely.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think like a lot, you look at a lot of frat kids and like college kids, it's no longer Natty Lights on campus. A lot of times it's, you know, these new seltzers that are on the markets and Celsius.
Everyone's got one.
And more alcohol content than beer?
I think it's about the same.
It's about the same, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But wine consumption, too, gone up dramatically over the course of it. So if you're doing Dry January, let us know how that's going and the reason. Again, this stuff with the Surgeon General, I think, is annoying. If you want to look at everything, that's fine. We've talked about the inroads. RFK Jr. is making every day there's something else out there. And here's the latest. Remember when we talked about RFK Jr., he made news saying, look, you shouldn't be going to McDonald's often and all that stuff. But if you are, if they use beef tallow, not the seed oils, we'd be a lot better off. Made sense, right? read a piece yesterday that beef tallows are on the rise. People are using them for on their skin. They're using them as a skin treatment. And it's just started. It's taken off. Not sure if that's effective. It might cause more pimples, but that has not stopped people from going down that path and doing it. So RFK Jr. is already making big inroads just by anything he touches like this. And it'll be really interesting when he actually has some power, some controls to see where it goes. All right, 855-839-1210. You get a line. AT&T, Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is just push pound 1210 and we're coming to you. And hit us on the side question. Worst person in the world. Kim Jong-un's birthday today. Hit us on that. And remember, tongue-in-cheek on that one. Get your name into the hat. Among other things, we started talking about Lake and Riley. Because I think this is going to be really tough on Democrats in the Senate. We played you John Fetterman. He was on with Brett Baer yesterday saying, if we can't find seven Democrats out of 47 Democrat senators to at least allow this to be debated and then voted on, well, then that's why we lost the election. And that's true, because this is a basic issue of whose rights are more important. Yours are the alleged rights of people that are here illegally. And then we talked about the three people locally. Now, I give Houlihan credit. She's out there in Chester County. She did respond to Delaware Valley Journal telling them she voted against the Lake and Riley Act that it would protect you because it's unconstitutional to her. The poor alien migrants, they have constitutional rights too. And we heard from Neil Young, who ran against her the last time, saying, yeah, it's a Chester County council, the manufacturing council there, and the businesses there. They want them. What does Chester County want? Is that what it comes down to, though? That people in Chester County are on board with that. We need people here illegally. It's going to be interesting to see them when Trump starts deporting people. Are we going to see the suburbs erupt? We need those people. We want them to do our work, our mushrooms, and everything else. We don't want you fooling around with them. Yeah, but these people should have been kept in jail. They were already here illegally. They already had committed crimes. If they had been kept in jail to be deported, they wouldn't have raped and killed Lake and Riley. So what? How about those mushrooms? Is that what it is? Is it they need them and they're insulated in the suburbs from the worst of this? Makes you wonder then, how did Trump get elected? Because overwhelmingly, Americans said, no, that's not the case. We're not going to put up with this. The price is too high. We want to protect Americans. All right, 855-839-1210, AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All that you have to do is just push pound 1210, and we'll get you on board. Here is, this yesterday was embarrassing, to put it mildly, but I'm still going to play it. The Five, Ro watches that every day, loves The Five. I see the charm of it. Yeah, five people, you know, duking it. It's the most popular show on cable, numbers-wise, without a doubt. So they brought in a woman who's on Fox New York. I think a news anchor. So in New York, that's big. Listen to what she said yesterday. And listen for the phrase 1867. Here's what she said about Harry Truman tried to buy Greenland, too, just like Trump is. Cut six.
Roseanne, what I love about this whole situation is that Trump could just bring something up and say, well, let's just see what happens. You know, can we buy this? How much does that cost? And people laugh, but then you go, wait a minute, it's actually happening.
Well, it actually is not the first time this has happened. Mm-hmm. They're calling the president-elect bananas and crazy for coming up with this idea. But by the way, this is not the first time that America's tried to buy Greenland. Mm-hmm. Back in 1867, Democratic President Harry Truman tried to buy Greenland for $100 million, which would be about a bill this, you know, in our day and age, $1 billion. Mm. Didn't happen. Obviously, still very important. And as you mentioned, Jesse, has a lot of minerals. Very important for our country. I think the president may be onto something.
Mm. Gutfeld thinking, oh, man, what happened here? Why was that seat occupied by this woman? Hit the ejection button. And she was looking down at notes there. Harry Truman was born, I believe, in 1888 or thereabouts. But in 1867, he was bidding on Greenland. Now, he did bid on Greenland in 1946, okay? And I think there's a reasonable suspicion that this could happen, that there are people in Greenland that don't want to be hooked up with Denmark, and that for the right price, Denmark might do it. That would be a coup of coups. This is the stuff that goes down in the history books. And Greenland would be very effective strategically and apparently very rich in various natural resources. So Don Trump Jr. was there yesterday talking about adoring crowds. Dan, did you happen to see who was with him?
No, tell me.
Sergio Gore.
Oh, Sergio was there?
Yes, Sergio.
I didn't see him, no.
Yeah,
oh, no, I didn't see the video of him there.
That's his buddy, and he'll be in charge of White House personnel. He's a guy that helped broker getting Don Jr. here for the politics and pints. It didn't look that cold there, but I'm sure it is.
Pretty cold.
Yeah, they didn't look like they had hats on or anything. Maybe that was part of the thing, trying to make it not look too bad. So will Trump really try to buy Greenland? This is cut 18. Here's what Don Jr. said.
Did they seem interested in the idea of getting closer to the United States and maybe being liberated from Denmark, who's had control of Greenland for the last 200 years?
100%. I mean, honestly, I didn't see a single negative. I mean, we had crowds waving as we were landing. We went to restaurants, invited locals in. We went to the local bars. We went in there. We went to some of the cultural sites. Literally 100% positive from what I was able to see and experience. And again, these are people that feel they've been exploited. They have not been treated well by Denmark. They're prevented from utilizing the great natural resources that they have, whether that's coal, whether that's uranium, whether that's other rare earth minerals.
Freezing my ass off here.
It's really an incredible place. And these people are saying, we just want a better future for ourselves, and Denmark doesn't allow us to do anything. And beyond that, when we travel to Denmark, we're treated as second and third class citizens. It was really amazing. It was a very eye-opening experience. The reception could not have been warmer, Rob. It was great. I think there's definitely a path for my father and his administration to do something there that benefits both the people of Greenland as well as the people of the United States, both from a trade and commerce standpoint, from a military and strategic location. It actually seems like a total no-brainer.
All right, Don Trump Jr. there in Greenland. Coming up, YouTube watch. If you're not watching YouTube right now, get there. You should be. Hulk Hogan returns, I think last night, whatever it was the first Netflix with Raw, the big production of the WWE. So who do they roll out? Well, the all-timer who got a lot of FaceTime in the Republican campaign will play you coming up the reception that Hulk Hogan got.
Debatable all-timer.
And then ask
Ric Flair,
why in the world was this reception to Hulk Hogan? Does it have anything to do with the Trump campaign? All right, 855-839-1210-2. Hit us on the side question. Hit us with something or someone alive that is all world, the worst person in the world. 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. All right, it is Dom time. So we're starting to see the first, and I'm going to be careful with this, but I would say where my gut leans, Trump and Newsom getting into it. Fox News Channel, they had a guy, one of their reporters. Firefighters simply do not have the resources to continue fighting all these California wildfires. Well, by resource, I think one of the biggest resources they're talking about is water. And some of the policies in California, it's a difficult situation. You know, it's utopia, California, weather-wise and all that, but you have the mudslides. You have these wild weather swings, including the wind and fires that can happen. all over the place. And this is one of the worst. But what are their water policies? How do they play into not being able to effectively fight this? Then you have the mayor of L.A., even though when this was happening yesterday, still not come back from what I think she got back today to be in charge. You have this video out there of the biggest public policy of the head of the L.A. County firefighters. This is cut 20. Here's the L.A. fire chief, if you will, talking about what her biggest policy is to fight fires. Is it to have the very best? Well, they say when you have diversity, you have the very best. No, I don't think you do. I think you have the very best when you have the very best by some metric other than diversity. Effectiveness. You know, sometimes that means size, dexterity. It means a whole lot of things. Cut 20.
We are hosting our new employee orientation, and our focus is to teach our new employees for them to understand cultural competency, identify implicit and unconscious bias, and be aware of the importance of us having a diverse and inclusive workforce.
Diversity is important because the different people bring different lenses to their job, and those different ideas, those different lenses are important to have the best practices for our industry.
We have people here from hazmat. We have dispatchers in the room. We have people that are responsible for financial management. We have our information management division and also from human resources. So we have a variety of professionals that are receiving this training.
We teach people how to deal with conflict responsively, how to have challenging conversations, break down stereotypes, and learn more about cultural competence. And so we do this by working to advance equity throughout community partners and internal departments within Los Angeles County.
Yeah, that's really going to put those fires out. All right. It's obvious. I watched the interview with this fire chief, this female that's risen to that level. I don't see somebody hell-bent to be the best in the world at stopping devastation. These are distractions at best. All right, let's go to Greg in the Northeast. And Greg, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Dom. Hey, guys.
Hi.
There's this show and every news cycle. I was thinking to say something else, and then when you come up and run that last piece, and you could go down a whole rabbit hole. So the first thing is the beer. I just find it ironic that beer and alcohol now, they're saying causes cancer, even if it's a little, a minor intake or a little bit of an intake. But yet, all you have to do is look in the billboards and look around in magazines, and they're pushing marijuana like it's hard candies. I mean, I find that to be ironic. I said, that's nuts. And then you said something about the beer consumption down in from 81.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really easy to do the tracking. That's because men were lunkheads back then. We actually had fun. The commercials were fun. Half-naked ladies on bikinis all over the place. Guys acting like stooges. And they just wanted to let it ride and enjoy themselves. So now everybody can't be a lunkhead as men. And then we had the IPAs, and they're a little more distinguished. Nothing with wrong with IPAs. It's still good. But it's just a shot. It all comes in a shot at men. And they want to make the revenue off the marijuana. So it's definitely there's an end game to their madness. You know what I mean? I do believe that they can actually think seven different stupid things at once in their minds and make it run cohesive.
All right, so I'll put you down. You're not a seltzer guy. A lot more seltzers there, but Greg. Greg, who's your person that's the worst person in the world? I think it's a pretty good one.
And she's probably the sweetest old lady. Janet Yellen. I think I'm more capable of running the monetary value of this country than she was.
Every time Janet Yellen would speak, they'd have to walk it back. Yeah, she does seem okay, but the stuff she was saying during this, well, what are you talking about, inflation? Best economy ever, essentially. By the way, Dan, little update since he mentioned marijuana. We have the $1 billion industry now, was just a figure out this morning. That's what they're touting. All right, $1 billion.
Is that straight revenue or?
That's what they took in. I'm not sure what the cost is.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. It's strange to me. So maybe it is working. I don't know what illegal sales would be. I didn't think people would pay because you're taxed on this, essentially. You're paying more. Is it just knowing what you're getting? Is it that there's no onus anymore? People are not afraid to go to a store. I'd love to see if the store in Morristown, if it's there, we knew they were going to put a couple stores in, if that's happening. But $1 billion as they hit, they predicted they would start to bring in billions. I said, I don't see it. There's no way you're going to do that because people are not going to pay that or want to be seen doing it. So is it a big success? Yeah. You know, I would say in Jersey it is. Is there any downside? The only downside still unresolved is if you're driving, how do they test to determine if you're impaired beyond the legal limit? I still think that's up in the air. But I haven't seen anybody say, well, yeah, that's a deal breaker.
So 190 dispensaries throughout the state, mm-hmm. $2 billion in revenue since April 2022 when it was recreationally legalized,
right.
$43 million this year, estimated tax revenue. That was back in September, numbers from CRC. That's the Cannabis Regulatory Commission.
Okay, so it's $43 million they're bringing in taxes, which is still not enormous, but they are creating jobs. And they did $1 billion in revenue, at least. So is that a success? I don't hear anybody saying, let's go back, let's not deal with the only downside I've seen, we see it every summer, because of their own racism, they said now that they can't bust adults who are black for marijuana, they're going to go after kids, so we're going to let kids essentially get away with stuff. That's a downside. But otherwise, it seems to be working.
Do you remember whether the whole, you know, uproar in Morristown over the marijuana on the main strip, was that about the place Nurse? Was that what the company was? Or
I'm not sure. I know they were moving it in to a more remote part
because
of Morristown.
I remember there was something over it, and I walked by a place called Nurse. And I don't even know if Nurse is, it says Nurse CBD, but I think they have THC products as well.
Right.
And the store itself is beautiful. It looks like a very artisan type shop and storefront, and you look in and it looks really nice, you know?
Well, I wonder, Pennsylvania next, there's still talk of it. I don't think it's there at a critical mass. In 2025, would Josh Shapiro try to push that? It's got to be close when they look at what Jersey's doing. You got to think there is somewhat of an opportunity to see that.
I think it being legal alone is, you know, what drives the sales because it opens up, it turns it into a similar to alcohol type situation. More people are willing to try it. They don't really care about the price point as much as not having to buy it from someone who's shady or on the corner or something like that. And, you know, it makes sense to me that you're seeing such a boon in the economy on this. And to your point that you made initially is I remember you specifically saying, you know what, you'll probably see something like this because of the excitement of it being new, but will it fade off over years? I mean, it's only been 3 years and we're still seeing it grow, but I don't think you're wrong when you say over time, this is actually going to come back down. I don't think it's going to be a continually billion, $2 billion industry.
And a billion taking in, but only $43 million in taxes. I'm not sure what they said originally, and I have to go back and see what Murphy said. Was he saying and they'll take $1 billion a year in taxes ultimately? That would be pretty hard to believe. But it's creating jobs now. Atlantic City is an example of way too much. We talked about this last week. I think there's 10 or 12 stores in Atlantic City proper. I mean, come on. How in the world can you support that kind of thing?
Yeah, how do you support that? You look at, because I'm in Deptford now, and in Runnymede, Belmar, there's like six within almost 2 miles. I don't know how they can all stay in business, but they're all really pretty nice looking. Sorry, I turned back on the mic for a good reason, though, because I'm looking here. September, at that point when that number came, it was $789 million was where they had back in September. This is a CRC most recent report.
Right.
That was what generated that tax revenue of $43 million.
Okay.
So $43 million on $789 million.
So it's more. Yeah.
Yeah, so 75%, let's say it's probably, what, near 60?
Yeah. I'd have to say it's doing pretty well. Robert and Ben Salem. He's next on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Dom. Dan, it's good to talk to you guys today. I know it's been a while. Before I get into my side question, I have to correct that idiot journalist about 1867. That's when we bought Alaska for $7.2 million, which is about $129 million in today's money. And we pull more than that every day in oil out of that country or out of that state. So instead of calling it Seward's Folly, they need to call it Seward's Brilliance. And maybe the journalist in question should increase her education. But you know how much I hate the mainstream media, Dom. I go on about it all the time. And the person who embodies the evil of that institution right now is Taylor Lawrence. Her latest escapade was extolling the virtues of people who go around killing CEOs, okay?
Yes.
And it's people like her that ruin journalism in this country, and I'm hoping that it'll come back, but that is my answer, heartfelt. Taylor Lawrence is the worst person in the world.
That is a very good one, because it's a little bit obscure, but shouldn't be, what she did in her prominence. She's all over the place. She's used by everybody. You're right.
Yeah, used by everybody, including the fake CEO of Enron. Have an interview.
Exactly. So you're doing quitting smoking in January.
I am not smoking anything from now on, Dom. I am completely free of it. And it's hard. It is hard. I'm not going to lie. But I'm looking at my health now. I want to see my grandkids grow up, you know, and I'm starting to feel it. So that part of my life is done, and I'm looking forward to a good another 20 years. You know what I mean?
So, well, we want to get that lease set out of you, so we'll hopefully see you over at the NAC on Inauguration Day and get a progress check.
I will be there, and I will keep you posted, Dom. Looking forward to it. You guys have a great day.
Thank you, Robert. Thanks very much. All right, coming up, Paula Scanlon. Remember her? She was at the Penn team, Leah Thomas. Well, the Congress, not just Trump in executive action, has a big bill. I bet the local Democrats are going to tell us they support women but vote against it, the Fairness in Sports Act, which is exactly where Republicans should be going. Paula talk about that, but she's also the day-to-day right now for Scott Presler in Jersey. How is that going? What are we seeing in New Jersey as we gear up? All I know is I'm doing an event with Scott down at the shore, God willing, not so much snow this Saturday. And I think they're going to need a bigger room from the number of people that are wanting to back him. More on that as it develops here on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Dom Giordano's show. Welcome in. Paula Scanlon, we didn't know who she was. She was on the Penn swimming team. And then after the dust started to settle, she spoke out. And she's become a real champion out there for women. And now the New Jersey coordinator for early vote action for the Scott Presler group. And we're looking at the House now, finally ready to act in a new world. Will Democrats vote with them? They didn't vote with them on Lake and Riley. We've been talking about it this morning. But if they learn the lesson of this election, you know, they might be able to flim-flam on bathrooms in school and all that stuff and even pronouns. But when it comes down to the idea of males competing against females in sports, it's at least 80%. And it's not just the number. It's the fact that people who might vote for a Democrat, like African-American males, they turn on this issue. It's a huge issue that the Congress, early on, I think, is going to attempt to pass, and I think they will. Let's go to New Jersey coordinator, early vote action now, Paula Scanlon. Paula, Happy New Year. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me on today.
Well, Paula, we're seeing signs occasionally here, a lot of them. We add them up each day. But the Democrats en masse, I don't think, have gotten the message, particularly on this bill that's going to move forward now in the Congress. What are you hearing, and what do you hope this bill will do?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm really hoping that this will protect women's sports. I mean, I think that that's been our goal for so long here. It's just really sad to see so many Democrats, even after losing in the election, have continued to double down on this issue. I mean, I think the biggest thing I noticed is Jen Psaki, who, by the way, was also a Division I swimmer herself, got on air a couple days after the election and tried to defend men competing in women's sports. I mean, they're so out of touch, and it's just sad to see that it's still partisan to Democrats, this issue, when, again, I think it was a huge factor to why they lost the election.
Yeah, exactly. And, Paul, one of the tactics, and one of these times that you were on with us, we talked about this, that they'll bring up right away is Republicans are going wild on something that only affects a minute number of people. And when you were on, there was a piece out there that took a look, as best we can tell, there's more, of how many young women did not win a race, get a medal, ultimately scholarships, et cetera, but even awards for their achievements because they were beaten out by males. It was astounding how much of it's already gone on.
Yes, and even the UN had referenced, right? Over 1,000 girls had lost opportunities, not even just in the upper levels in the Olympics. It's high school level, college level, even elementary school girls. I mean, there was a story in West Virginia of these elementary school girls protesting against competing against a male athlete. These girls were in fifth grade. What is going on in this country that we expect fifth graders to have to protest for their own fairness in their own sports? And so it has just been just so wild to me, again, how many people just say it's a non-issue. And even if it is a non-issue, one athlete is too many. If one girl loses her opportunities or loses access to fair competition because of this, we have failed. And so I don't want to hear anything about this is a non-issue, this is only happening a couple of times. It's just so maddening that that's their argument.
Yeah, well, when you don't have too many other arguments, that's the argument that you go with. Now, the woman, I'm going to play her a little bit later in the show so that you know, Paul. This woman who's the congresswoman from Delaware, McBride, anytime that comes up, she says we should instead be focused on bringing down cost. She's a progressive, and they're the ones that drove up costs, so just stop doing what you're doing. But this is the type of argument that still goes on, and I think this is going to be a real showdown because America just voted on this and said enough of it, stop doing this.
I think that the congresswoman you referenced is actually a man from Delaware.
McBride.
And they're talking about cost. Where were you guys for 4 years under Biden when everyone was complaining about the cost of groceries? In fact, I know women who traditionally voted Democrat that changed their vote in this election because they're the ones going to the store, seeing the prices of things and saying, I cannot afford this, I'm done, and voting for Trump this time around. So it's so interesting that they're trying to flip the narrative and say, oh, we need to focus on affordability and cost of things. When you had 4 years to address those problems, they had all this talk about Bidenomics and saying the economy is doing great under Biden, and now they're saying, oh, we actually have adjustments to make.
Yeah, here, Paula, for you, here is Representative McBride, the first openly transgendered person, apparently, from Delaware.
Well, this is typical bluster from the president-elect. This obsession with Greenland and Panama really came out of nowhere and has been filled with mistruths and misunderstandings. I don't understand why this president is so committed at a time of global instability, of fostering more instability globally, of undermining our allies, and at the same time, diverting the attention of our federal government toward issues like invading Greenland or Panama, while we should be focused on bringing down costs facing workers, retirees, and families here in this country.
That's her mission. And lady, your policies, are the reason why we are where we are. Yet she continuously repeats this, and that's what they'll do. Why are we talking about this? Well, let's just fix it. Just stop doing it. We'll stop talking about it. So, Paula, now you've gotten your feet wet a little bit more with the early action here, the Scott Presler Group, that you're the day-to-day NJ coordinator. What can you tell us? What are you seeing in Jersey?
I mean, the biggest issue, and relating to the same thing that New Jersey voters are talking about, is affordability and the cost of things. And again, we haven't seen any of the Democrats who are really running in the primary on the governor's side really give any plans or address these issues that people are having. I mean, I've already heard from renters that are upset with the way, even the landlords don't appreciate the way that they're being taxed and the cost it costs them to even have renters. And homeowners, people can't buy homes. I mean, I have family friends that live in New Jersey, and they're saying they're very working professionals. Many of them are doctors, and they still cannot afford down payments on a home. Just costs are high in this country. And again, the Democrats in New Jersey have not shown any desire to really address these problems and give any tangible solutions.
No, and two of them, by the way, Paul, that are the principal gubernatorial candidates that are camouflaging as moderate, Gottheimer and Sherrill, they both failed to show up and vote yesterday on the Lake and Riley Act. They knew they couldn't vote against it, and they knew they couldn't vote for it, apparently, in Jersey.
I saw that. And again, that is honestly disgusting to me. I'm deeply disturbed by a lot of these people who are representing large numbers of people going in and either not voting or voting the other way. I mean, it is just, I can't even imagine and being, and again, as it's just heartbreaking to see what's going on to women in this country, not just in the sports issue, but again, with the southern border. And I think also women voted on that issue too, because the Lake and Riley story hit home to a lot of women. I mean, it hit home to me, and I know what it's like to go on runs. I actually trained for a marathon myself, and I know the dangers of running. I had multiple times when I thought, man, I don't want to run outside because all these migrants are running around New York City. And again, it is just heartbreaking that they're doing that, and they need to be held accountable, and we will continue to call them out for how they're acting, and again, not standing to protect women and protect people in this country.
Where do we go for early vote action, particularly as we gear up for Jersey, Paula?
Absolutely. Check out earlyvoteaction.com. There'll be resources there if you want to come volunteer with us, if you want to keep tabs on what we're doing. Also follow our Twitter page, or sorry, X rather, the rebrand name. There's also an app. You can help in other states. If you want to help in New Jersey, there's opportunities later on to do letter writing. There's always ways to get involved. And also, if you feel inclined, you can give us a small little donation. It'll go towards hiring staff to help flip not just New Jersey, but also keep Pennsylvania red and expand into other states in the future.
We're in good hands. So glad you're part of this campaign, Paula. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Paula Scanlon here on Talk Radio 1210. The two that I mentioned, Gottheimer, that's the guy who the Inquirer even says lied about what he listened to on Spotify, the end of the year figures. Sherrill has a military background of sorts and is another person claiming to be moderate. They both intentionally did not show up yesterday to vote on the Lake and Riley Act. The reason they didn't, they want to vote against it, but they're taking a temperature and realizing, are you kidding me? So I offer this one more time. I led off the show, Fetterman saying, you have to vote for the Lake and Riley. Are you kidding me? Even Democrats. Yet, we had the three women in the suburbs lecture us, one of them at least, about the Constitution. She's out there in Chester County. 855-839-1210. And Dan time today. People have a double header. They'll want to make sure they get to YouTube, right?
Yeah, youtube.com/at12nwpht. You're going to spend some time in the world of pop culture.
Hulk Hogan booed viciously. Why? And Meghan Markle not booed. Well, she was on Netflix. We can't boo her. Meghan Markle, I'll put her down. Worst person in the world. Really gets to me. Not in the sense of a dictator. Remember, it's tongue in cheek, but she's bad. 855-839-1210. That's how you get in.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
It's Dan time.
I can handle things. I'm smart. I'm like everybody says.
With Dom.
That's right. It's that time of the afternoon. Producer Dan takes over the Dom Giordano program for some Dan time with Dom. And Dom, I'm going to start with a little close to heart. Earlier this week, Monday night, was the debut of Monday Night Raw on Netflix, moving off of standard broadcast television, now on a streaming service. Really, really big event with some great legends. The Rock showed up beforehand. This actually went viral, a clip of none other than Hulk Hogan. Take a watch.
Monday Night Raw on Netflix. Greatest tag team partners of all times. I've been with the big ones. Tagged up with Andre. Had the tag titles my
myself.
So if you happen to take the advice of Dom Giordano and tune into youtube.com/@1210WPHD, you could see before the event there, he had that viral video, and in the video, he's wearing MAGA Powers, so it's a Trump-supporting shirt. So then later in the night, Hulk comes out to, you know, surprise the crowd. There's a huge pop for The Rock, a huge pop for Triple H. How did they respond to the legend himself? Take a watch. A lot of booing there, Dom.
Well, is it about the Trump thing? Because I thought the wrestling fans that show up at events like this might be vaguely pro-Trump.
It's shocking, actually, because I you would think so, too. But being in L.A., in California,
right?
You know, I think a lot of people did travel to come to this event, and I would assume that diehard wrestling fans in general, are more conservative-leaning. But clearly not the case in the crowd on Monday night, Dom. And one has to wonder, is it because of Hogan's, you know, entrance and public, you know, persona when it comes to politics that's recently developed?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it because Hulk himself, within the wrestling
toxic,
community,
right.
Yeah, he's very controversial, and he's constantly shoved down the throats of fans, so are they just sick of it? Could be that as well, maybe not political. But someone being shoved down the throats of fans, well, not fans, because she doesn't have any, but another Netflix series coming up that was advertised oft during that Raw special, Dom. Oh, man, this is tough. I need your thoughts on this. Take a watch.
Let's make a show.
Let's go. I've always loved taking something pretty ordinary and elevating it. Surprising people with moments that let them know I was really thinking of them.
Now, if that sounds vaguely familiar, that's the voice of Meghan Markle, Dom.
My worst person in the world, insufferable. Yeah,
really?
Oh, my God. She just... And it's the husband, too, enabling it, going along with it. You just cannot detest her enough.
I did some research on this. So this is Meghan Markle's upcoming Netflix series where she'll be the next Julia Child, apparently.
Oh, or, my God.
Yeah, whatever it is, where she's giving gardening and home tips, cooking tips to... who wants tips for Meghan Markle? She's a royal. Does she even cook for herself? Like, it seems so out of touch.
Oh, landscaping, too. Her landscapers.
Oh, yeah, she doesn't have a... Now in the preview, Dom, if you're on youtube.com/@1210WPHD, she was just beekeeping, something Meghan Markle apparently does as well.
Yeah, and Julia Childs was a character and a great chef and really defined the genre, and this woman glomming on again.
So I got a question: who was responsible for the production of such a out of touch thing? And it turns out that this is part of that Netflix deal that they signed with the prince and the royals and such, and this is coming from the prince and Meghan themselves to try to rehash that image. But man, it's so out of touch. No one's gonna watch this crap. Actually, I might hate watch it. So we have clips here on Dan Time with
Suits
Dom moving
fans
forward.
Fans will be all over it.
Yeah, I don't think they care about Meghan Markle,
no.
Do they?
No, I'm a fan of the show. I don't care.
Yeah.
Well, I forget what Meghan Markle was up to. There was something consequential with the royal family. Maybe it was that, but just...
Well, the whole, you know, bouncing out of the royals and trash-talking them, and it's not like I'm pro-royals by any means, but it seems like endless drama that I could give a crap less about that's just constantly shoved in my face.
Well, I think,
and now they're doing a Netflix special. Yeah. It's like, come on.
And Trump is concerned we provide their security, so you might hear more on that front while they're in the United States. That would be a twosome that should leave the country.
I'm getting yelled at. Don't insult Julia Child by comparing her to Meghan Markle.
Well, that's what I said. Yeah. I didn't think you were. All right, so 85
voice.
Yeah.
Oh. A little French cooking for you.
A very real character, real cooking, all that. All right, so 855-839-1210. Hit us on the side. Which is this worst person in the world? Today is the birthday of Kim Jong Un. Tomorrow is Richard Nixon's birthday. Now we have some angles, so I'd be interested on Twitter, you can hit me. What'd be a good side question involving Nixon, who arguably was the most intellectual of anybody that was ever in the Oval Office. And I give him credits. You talk about election cheating. Kennedy just said, we're just going to steal it. What are you going to do about it? And we got Lyndon Johnson stealing Texas. And what was Nixon going to do? He took one for the team. He didn't go to the courts. Okay, Dom's Money Melody coming up and the side question. And by the way, Elon Musk jumping into the LA fires, retweeting libs of TikTok, showing the just minute detail of racial equity of the fire department versus, oh, I don't know, fighting fires. Is it safe to say that Newsom, Bass, the fire department there, they share some responsibility in what's happening in a tough situation? They're not ready. There's not enough water infrastructure. They're not really about fighting fires. They're about the usual nonsense. And they're facing something apocalyptic, and they're going to have a lot of trouble handling it. 855-839-1210.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210.